Hunter at Sunrise, 89.5 WHRV, HD2 Alt Radio, and HunterAtSunrise.com.
You know we like to do acoustic sessions on this show, especially ones brought to you with support from Christine Wern and the Chrism Institute of Aesthetics in Virginia Beach, making passion for skincare a profession. You can check out their ad at HunterAtSunrise.com. And joining us here in the studio once again, we're so happy to have her back, Maya Sharp on our program. How you doing, Maya?
I am doing very well, thank you. How are you? And thanks for having me back.
Oh, I'm doing okay. And, of course, you're welcome anytime to be on the show. What would you like to play for us first before we get to talking here?
I'm thinking about, Is That What Love Does?
Well, that sounds like a good song to me.
Off of the new album.
Yes, this is Maya Sharp here on Hunter at Sunrise.
The blinds are off the windows, so you can see inside. Years worth of shadows running from the light. Shelves that held the burden of who I used to be are empty, clean, and open, making room. I feel like changing everything. Is that what love does? Is that what love does? Same house, same street, same skin, same town, same troubled world spinning around, but nothing's like it was. Something in the making, in the breaking down of walls, and I want to rise to the occasion of letting them fall. Painting and peeling every shade of blue, and all it really needed was a coat of you. Six hands clapping.
Yes, your entourage is here as
That's
well.
That's right.
Maya Sharp here on Hunter at Sunrise, and let me start by congratulating you on a really cool album.
Thank you very much. I put a lot into this one.
Yeah, we have played a lot of this record. It's called Tomboy, and you sound very calm on this record and very collected.
Thank you. I've been working hard for that sound.
Yeah.
And to actually own that and to feel that way, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's your 10th studio album, is that correct?
That's amazing, but yes, that is true. The first one came out in 97, and I've been making them pretty much every 2 or 3 years. More frequently since I moved to Nashville, though. I moved to Nashville at the beginning of 19, and I've had one out every other year since then. And yeah, this one, I mean, you didn't ask, but... There's something about the frequency of it that just kind of lands at the places in my life. Like when I first moved to Nashville, that first album that I made there, Mercy Rising, was definitely like from the middle of the storm of why I had moved and all the changes and all of the questions.
And you could hear that in there.
I had to pour it out into there. That album was very helpful for me. I'm not sure where I would be emotionally if I wasn't able to get that out, you know? And then the next one a couple years later, Reckless Thoughts, was like kind of on the edge of that storm. But looking back and like, all right, I've learned some things. I'm not in the quagmire anymore, but I still have a lot of things to figure out.
Yeah.
And then Tomboy, not like things are figured out. I don't think we ever really arrive. We're always on the road, you know?
Yeah.
But Tomboy was like, yeah, I was, I think I had found a way to be a little calmer and a little stronger about some of those things. And in that place, I was able to look all the way back at some things. Like I hadn't really looked at some, you know, phases of my childhood, which, by the way, I was an extremely lucky child to have a mom and a dad that have always been very loving and very supportive.
Well, your dad was also a songwriter, was he?
Yeah, he still is.
Yeah. Well, that's good to hear.
Yeah.
Randy Sharp, right?
Wonderful writer.
Yes, he was a country writer, was he not?
Yeah, mostly country, but also kind of like me, like just writing what he's feeling, and then it gets recorded by people of all genre. In fact, his latest cut was just a couple of years ago by Michael McDonald and Willie Nelson.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, a song called The Dreams of the San Joaquin. And that had been cut already by Linda Ronstadt and Kenny Rogers. But Willie and Michael, I call them by their first names even though we have never met, but they did a wonderful job on it.
Yeah, well, he must have been very supportive of you. Very early on. Is this true that you recorded your first song at 5 years old?
Well, he always had a tape recorder around. So I think I said, Dad, I got a song. And he's like, all right, hit the, you know, record and play at the same time. It was one of those.
Yeah.
He recorded the song that I made onto a cassette, and then somehow it ended up in a box that a friend of ours found and sent it to Dad like right before my second album came out, and so we put it at the end of my second album.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, my mom also has been very supportive. So Mom and Dad have always been there, but never pushing it like, this is what we did.
Right.
So this is what you have to do. They always waited for me to ask about it, and then they would advise or help me, but it was never unsolicited.
Well, did they take the picture of you that's on the cover of Tomboy?
Dude, this is...
That is you, right?
Yes, it is me at 4-ish. My mom is also a photographer, and I'm an only child, so how do you think that went? Like, there's photos everywhere. But that picture is from a photo booth that we used to go to in Visalia. There was a park near the house. We didn't have a lot of money, so like... Oops, what was that?
Good question. I don't know.
It's falling apart.
Just keep on.
Yeah. So we would go to a photo booth pretty often, like it probably a couple times a week. And I don't know what they were then, probably not even a dollar. Mm-hmm. But we have a stack of these, you know.
You must have gone there more than once, huh?
Oh, there's probably 100 strips or something like that. So I chose the one that was like, oh my God, I look like... First of all, I look like a little boy in most of the strips.
Yeah.
But then this one I remember, I still remember, this is 50 years ago, and I remember my mom saying, okay, for every picture, try to make a different expression. Won't that be fun? Uh-huh. And so I did that, and it was the cheapest album cover photo shoot, I think, ever in the history of photo shoots.
You have a little bit of a pleading look on your face on it. Just a little.
I don't know if I was acting or if that was like, these are the sides of me or whatever. I mean, you're four, so are you really thinking about that stuff? You're just like, I'm going to make a funny face. Everybody who sees it is like, oh my God, you still make all of those faces.
We're talking with Maya Sharp here on Under at Sunrise. Would you like to do another one for us?
Yes. In fact, why don't I do that one since talking about it?
Yes.
Tomboy.
Yes. I like good segues, you know.
Yeah.
I'm a segue person. That's what I do for my retirement is segue, 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 segue.
I'm a professional segueist.
Yes.
So this one is very intentionally, in the production and in the writing of it, it's very intentionally like playful, celebrational of a time that when, you know, the time that we're writing about is not necessarily, it didn't always feel like a celebration. It felt awkward sometimes. Like,
sure.
Particularly when you had to dress up for something.
Yeah.
You had to go to a bar mitzvah or a wedding or whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. Everybody else is wearing a dress. This is in the late 70s, early 80s. Mm-hmm. P.S. Nobody knew how to dress in the 80s. Now I know that. Nobody looked good in the 80s.
Like, it was one of those transitional decades, wasn't it?
The best looking, coolest, quote unquote, coolest people in the 80s still looked hilarious.
So this is a title cut you're doing.
Yeah. And my co-writer, Emily Kopp, and I were like facing off with childhood photos of each other. Like, oh yeah, I look more like a boy. Oh yeah, I look more like a boy. It was pretty tied. But in that face off, we found ourselves laughing our faces off. Like, this is so funny. And it feels so good to laugh about this thing that used to be challenging.
I bet.
And felt cool to celebrate our younger selves who didn't change.
Right.
We didn't start wearing a dress even though it felt awkward. We just held strong.
Right.
And looked like little boys for 15 years.
And then you came into fashion.
And then it, yeah. Well, now, finally, it's about damn time.
Here's Maya Sharp here on Under at Sunrise.
No one would know me, I wouldn't know me.
not really this or that, somewhere in the middle of a tomboy. Is it still just a phase when she stays a tomboy? When she stays a tomboy.
Yeah. Maya Sharp here on Hunter at Sunrise, the new record, Tomboy. And I'll tell you, I really like that song. It's a good lead song. It's a whole interesting concept, although it's not a concept album, I guess. But it's a great concept for the, you know, the cover and everything. It just kind of brings it all together.
Well, thank you. I thought about the visuals of this album more than I think I ever have of the previous albums. I've been a little resistant, like, I just make music. Why do I have to think about what I'm going to post and the marketing and videos and like, and I was kind of a crank about it.
Yeah.
And I finally just like softened up, like, or you could maybe have some fun and just think of like just short. They don't have to be like full MTV length videos anymore. Like it can be 15 seconds of this and 5 seconds of that. Like, so I've actually had a lot of fun with it. And I thought about that imagery early on, and I'm doing a little feature of every song online.
Right.
So like I make a little video or I do like a little like interview with my co-writer, or there's like something new for every song.
Right.
And the concept album part for me, it's more indirect than that. It's not like a tomboy concept, but production wise, it was a concept album.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to be more playful, more percussive, more rhythmic, but no drum kit anywhere.
Right.
I want percussion and like odd sounds.
Right.
And so I stayed true to that. And so there might feel like a visceral concept, even if it's not a content concept.
Yeah. Well, you had collaborators on this record.
Many.
You collaborated with a lot of people. I really like the song with Matthew Perryman Jones.
Thank you.
That is an awesome song.
Thanks.
I've played Matthew Perryman Jones here on the show by himself. And
yeah, he's great.
To see him show up on your record, that was really cool. Who are some of the other people you collaborated with?
Yeah, I started having a feature. I think that Matthew Perryman Jones was my first, like, I'm going to do a song featuring him, a song that we wrote together. And then I started, like, I also have a Terry Clark co-write. And wouldn't it be nice to feature Terry Clark?
And who is she?
Yeah. She's a wonderful singer-songwriter. Old friend of mine, I've like 25 years of friendship. And then I was like, and then Emily West and I have this song. I want to feature Emily West. And Fancy Haygood would be nice to have. And then I was like, wait a minute. Is this going to be like feature overload? Or do I just lean into it? And I decided, you know what? The whole second half of the album, I'm going to feature my friends.
Yeah.
So I've got Sarah and Shannon is featured on one of them. That's Sarah Holbrook and Shannon LaBrie. Garrison Starr is featured on the U2 cover that I do at the end.
Yeah. You know, ever since you introduced me to her, and you did introduce me to her, I've been playing her music.
All right.
Yeah, she's really quite – she's got a voice.
Got a voice. And live, she sounds like the record every time.
Yeah. She is awesome. So
– yeah.
Well, you know, it's all a matter of whatever you want to do, because you're the record company now.
That is a good point. I am the record company. And I don't have like – I'm not anti-label or anything, but I had five of them through the years in kind of various incarnations. Never a lot, like a huge one, but like middle and small and like co-owning of the master and, you know, a number of situations. And they were fine and we learned a lot from each other, but there's something, especially just the way that the industry is working right now. And how you have to kind of write your own
story.
Yes, and hopefully
in
a better
fact, there's
story.
A song on the album just about that. Yeah,
but it's just such a personal recipe of survival right now.
Yeah,
just to stay alive as a songwriter. I guess it's always been like that, and it's probably always it's like that with all of the arts. You know, anytime like you want a creative forward job, you might have to be extra resourceful. So it just feels really good and freeing, and it's expensive and it's exhausting, but I'm still preferring this.
Yeah.
I am the label. Yeah.
Well, it keeps you busy.
Yeah. My work-life balance is pretty hilarious. Like, there's no life part of that equation right now. I just kind of work and then I hopefully sleep at night so I can wake up and work again. But that's okay. That's what I asked for. And the response on this album has just been such good vibes. Like the energy that I'm getting back from this record, it just, you know, it just feels like a Grammy. Like I don't even need the other stuff. Like this, it just the kind of human response and the stories that I get back and the people that are showing up to the shows, it feels really good.
Well, your record is kind of like a living room record. I mean, you can sit in your living room and listen and just, you know, kind of, you know, go down into your couch and enjoy that. It's cool.
Well, thank you. And it was made in, most of it was made in my studio, which could have been turned into a living room. So it's kind of like my living room to yours.
Well, great.
Yeah.
We're talking with Maya Sharp here on Hunter at Sunrise. Would you like to do one more for us here?
How about one more that, since you are the king of segues, I mean, talk about always working and being on the road. I'm on the road a lot. This song was inspired by a particularly rough stretch of time where I was on the road, and I think in 2 weeks' time I hit these traffic jams that weren't just like, oh, I'm going to be a little late, but were like an extra 3 hours of just sitting there and people getting out of their cars. And then I start going to this very frustrated place, like, I'm late and I have to use the bathroom and I'm starving and meh, woe is me. And then you get up to the front of it and you see why this has happened. And in both of those occasions, clearly we had lost someone. I mean, it was horrible. And I was like, okay, get over thyself. Like,
right. You're suddenly in a whole another
I'm fine. I'm more than fine. I'm thankful that, you know. So that's what inspired this song.
Here is Maya Sharp here on Unheard Sunrise.
I try to be there when I say I will. That ain't happening tonight. Caught on the one highway, I'm still in a snake with brake lights. Fed up, put out, till it's my turn to pass. Slowly rolling by metal and glass. I was tired, I was hungry, now I'm only feeling lucky. Somebody just lost somebody. We tried to be all we'd need from this life, but when I looked in the harder and harder to see a good wife, it was a breakdown year. Free and fallen in the great unknown, brought back by the red and blue lights and the orange cones. I'd been leaning in the long. Somebody, I'm no good at going nowhere. I've become someone I don't care for. It takes the sound of a siren to keep my idle engine from sparking a war. All the real wide dashes will start up again, and when it does, remind me to remember when I was only feeling. I was only feeling lucky. Oh, only feeling lucky. And I was only feeling lucky.
Wow.
Thanks, folks.
Wow.
I love how you wait for the sustain. To the very last moment of sustain.
Yeah, well, you never know when you want to cut that out of there. You don't want the flaws. But
right.
Maya Sharp here on Hunter at Sunrise. Wow, I really appreciate you doing this today. And this is a great record.
I
saw Bonnie Raitt actually posted about the record.
Oh, my God.
That must make you feel good.
Oh,
I know you're good friends with her.
Yes, I am. We've been friends since she recorded three of my songs back in 2005, and we've been friends since then. And she's just amazing. I mean, even though we have known each other that long, it still hits me hard.
Oh, yeah.
When she says something like that, and she brought it up. She's like, honey, I really want to post about your record. I'm like, okay.
Okay.
First, let me get my breath back. And then thank you so, yeah, like it just, oh, it's just overwhelming. Cause I'm such a fan. Like I just feel such a connection to her music and the way she walks through the world, and just that she feels a connection to me back. It's such a validating thing.
Well, she articulates your songs so well.
Oh my God.
I mean, it's very evident on her records when she loves your songs.
She gives them the best possible life they could have.
Yeah. Well, Maya, I know you're on tour and I know you got a lot of places to go. Where's the next stop?
Actually, I get to drive home tomorrow. That's a little bit of a haul. I'm going to be on the road for a while.
Be careful.
To get on back to Nashville.
At this recording, it's going to rain tomorrow.
Okay.
Badly.
All right. Well, I have all day, so if I have to pull over or whatever, I always will. And then next week, I'm going to start a little run in the Northeast. So we're going to be like in Massachusetts and Maine and New Hampshire. I'll be up in that area.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so we forge on.
Well, we wish you the best with Tomboy.
Well, thank you so much. Also, you know, just for having me in, it's always really nice to see you.
Yes, well, it's always nice to see you. Thank you for coming on the show. Maya Sharp here on Hunter at Sunrise.